Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, boss.
Oh, it's sweaty in here, isn't it? It is sweaty.
Episode 187. I've been waiting for this for a while because the California Penal Code defines Section 187 as the crime of murder. Hence, a load of 90s rappers talking about 187 this, 187 that. That's where it comes from.
Oh, nice. 5-0 coming.
The number 187 has been used by gangs throughout the United States and elsewhere as a synonym for murder.
I would like to congratulate whoever recommended the TV show Detroiters to me, featuring Tim Robinson, a man who I recently discovered on Netflix doing the I Think You Should Leave with
which
Tim Robinson.
Which is funny.
It's fantastic. He's got a two
the
series.
The bones are their money.
I can't get enough of that. And he did a series with the other guy who was in that TV show, I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, and also Veep. The silly bloke who just can't get anything right. He is in the TV show and they play like kind of like ad agency guys. Classic TV show I love. Runs for 2 seasons, then get cancelled, then gets instantly cancelled.
That's how it works, though.
That's how
it
works. But Amazon Prime is on there, and I bought both series, and it's fucking brilliant.
Stop swearing, Peter.
No,
there's no need for the naughty.
You want a bit of this?
Yeah. I think this should run under the whole show. It makes me want to look into a camera and put a smile.
It makes you want to sell something on QVC.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Steve Whatley, who'll be... Do you remember Steve Whatley?
No. Leave this. Don't turn this off.
Do you remember Steve Whatley? He was a QVC presenter of the sort of mid-90s who used to sell kind of like... His brand was Zhuzh. He used to talk about judging something up quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he kind of adopted that as his thing. He's like, all right, then let's judge something up.
Right.
And he was kind of very...
Did he speak like that?
A little bit, yeah. It was a bit, I think he's... Or maybe he talked a bit like this. Actually, I think he might have talked a bit like this, actually.
Okay.
He was a bit Dale Winton, but and he got in trouble for being accused of licking a lady.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I think he might have killed himself.
That's tight.
I think he killed himself.
Oh, bring that
Steve,
to a crushing halt.
Steve Whatley. Did he kill himself?
Pete, can you bring that bed back in?
Because indecent, I want assault chat. Well, I've moved on. He was known as Gadget Man, Mr. Diamondique, Waters, and Mr. Zhuzh. He died in Hertfordshire, 46, and death. Yep, he was the breakdown of his marriage 5 months earlier after the licking. Indecent assault charges, and then he committed suicide.
Chilling. Absolutely chilling. On July 20th, 1969, 50 years and 2 days ago, the Apollo 11 lunar module Eagle landed on the lunar surface.
Oh, lovely old job. Had a little bounce around.
Do you know what's quite interesting about that? Is that...
Everything?
They only... stepped out on the moon, onto the moon, 6 hours after they landed. I'd be chomping at the bit to get out there.
Hang on, what? So they landed.
They landed. They got 6 hours later.
They got to do their diagnostics.
I guess so. But 6 hours later.
Do you reckon they'd be like, it's the end of my shift?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a snooze.
This is my union detect actual tea break. So I cannot
work. You haven't got the unions now?
Yeah, I am. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck everyone.
Yeah.
Listen, they didn't get paid any extra money as we worked out and we checked that out ages ago. But anyway, 50 years ago now, It's crazy, isn't it? It's gone 50 years and people haven't been back for a very long time, have they?
Is it the Chinese who are big on it? I can't remember who's planning. Was it the Indians?
You can tell a lot about...
Saying the Indians is a bit weird, isn't it? The Indians. Sounds problematic, but I'm presuming...
Especially over this bed.
The Indians.
Yeah. Do you know that I personally think it's a great litmus test, the type of person you're talking to, whether they believe that man went to the moon or not. It's a great leveller.
Yeah, does anybody truly believe that, or is it just like a...
What,
really,
it didn't happen?
I think it's like probably the oldest... what do you call those things?
Conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories that you ever sort of experience when you're a kid.
But it can occasionally absolutely blindside you, because about a week and a half ago, I was with my mate, and I'm gonna name him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he listens or not, but I'm gonna name him. Mm. My mate Blair Dunlop. Mm. He's a singer songwriter of some repute.
Yeah.
He's from Music Royalty. He's Ashley Hutchins' son. Mm. Ashley Hutchins has been one of the main guys of Fairport Convention, seminal British artist.
Yeah.
Anyway. He came around my house a week and a half ago or whatever, because we have a catch up whenever he's in town, because he's always travelling around. He's like a troubadour, basically. Yep. But when he's in London, he comes and says hello. Anyway, I never spoke to him about space travel before.
Yeah.
It's just never come up.
Yeah.
So he's a perfectly normal person. Mm. Likes what he likes. You would never think it of him. He looks quite cool as well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're sat in the back garden having a drink, and he says, yeah, I've got a real big problem with the moon landing. And you think, where's that come from? Where is that
it's such
come
a basic...
From?
It is a quite a, again, it's one of your, like, it's your entry drug, isn't it, to conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a, ooh.
You think it's the stepping stone?
It's the stepping stone,
massively. You think it's your first smoke of cannabis resin?
Yeah, it massively is, yeah. It's the first, it's put in the microwave for 5 minutes, and then, is it 5 minutes? How long do you put resin in the microwave for?
I never used to put it
in. To soften it, so you can cut it.
Yeah.
Maybe we just had particularly blunt knives in our
house. What do you think about it? What do you think about people who think it?
I think they are educationally subnormal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Or they're just dreamers. They're just like, you know, I believe in things, but I don't believe in this particular nonsense. It seems inconceivable when you see the moon in the sky. You're like, why? How did we get there? That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Do you think it's because people can't put their head around the actual achievement?
How long did it take?
I think it took 12 days, something like that, to get there, to do the thing and come back again or something.
Right.
I think so, yeah.
Like, if we had, like, a rocket now, how quick rockets are, I presume they're quicker now, how quick we would get there? Like, create, like, a Concorde of rockets to get to the moon real quick?
Well, there's talk of a space tether, isn't there?
Right.
That, apparently, it's been mooted that one of the most efficient ways to get up into space is with a space tether. But I think that's only... the thing is, when you talk about man in space now, men and women in space now, astronauts in space, on the space station and all that stuff, that's actually only near-Earth orbit. It's not proper space. It's not like going to the moon, you know. Here's a paradox that I'd quite like people who are cleverer than us listening, and that's everyone, to debunk, is this, right? You're talking about very vast distances. To go, say, in science fiction that people want to travel... light years away, loads and loads of distance away, millions of miles away, because I think the moon is 250,000 miles away, so we're talking way past that.
It's
right?
10 times the circumference of the Earth, apparently.
Right, okay, fine. That's an interesting anomaly about the lunar eclipse, isn't it? The moon is, I think, 400 times smaller than the sun, but it's also pretty much exactly 400 times closer.
Nice.
So that's why it matches up.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, say you want to send a rocket ship miles away, and say it takes 50 years to get there. Okay. The paradox I've thought of in my own mind, which is probably easy debunked, but I can't think how. If you and I create a rocket that can get there in 50 years, what's to say in 20 years' time people don't invent one that it's gets quicker. There quicker, which is as there was no point sending the first one?
Well, don't they have to, in most of those kind of space exploration things, they have to, by the time that thing has already got to where it needs to be, we are 20 years down the line of development. They have to start development. Like, there'll be rockets that are getting fired off now that were developed 15 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it takes such a long time to get everything sorted out anyway. So to add on that,
But when you factor in the distances, which is basically takes years and years to get somewhere, the progress is still happening on Earth, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that at some point it's going to overtake it, and you're going to ask a bit pointless.
I don't think it would overtake it at that speed, would it?
We don't know, Pete.
I mean,
the only difference between you and I here is I'm admitting I don't know.
The fantasy in your head is like three men in a rocket, or three women in a rocket, looking out the window and seeing one absolutely streak passing on. Well, that's a fucking shit show.
It's annoying.
That's annoying, isn't it?
Radio going back to base. Hi, guys. No major issue, but I think I've just seen a faster rocket.
And yeah, we weren't going to tell you.
I haven't seen my family for 12 years. What gives?
What's going on? Unbelievable.
And then Mission Control going, sorry, we're having a bit of a problem with the communication. speaking of the moon landings.
Sorry, we can't remember.
Let's do the rest of the show like this.
We can't really hear you.
In the excellent BBC World Service podcast series, which I think is called 13 Minutes to the Moon,
right?
They announced
Bain appears.
In that the average age of the Mission Control employee for the Apollo 11 moon landings was...
15. Is it like the war?
It was 15, yeah.
Was it? Okay.
They were 15 years old. Yeah. Okay, no, they were 27.
Oh, that's
the average age.
And they killed themselves like the rock stars.
No.
Doesn't get no better than that.
No, they didn't kill themselves.
I was listening to, I look at a lot of crash videos when planes crash.
I know you do. I find it chilling.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know why you do it.
Well, there was the Japanese guys and they crashed in the mountain somewhere and, they were like, they were speaking in English, because obviously the international language of air traffic control is English.
Correct, yeah.
And when they were under high stress, they would switch to Japanese. And they were like, Haneda was going, don't worry, you can speak, continue to speak Japanese. And they were like, right, fine. And then they just instantly smashed into a mountain. So
why are you telling me this?
I can't remember.
Oh, because it sounded a bit like this.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah,
moshi, moshi.
So if you are flying...
I'm fucked.
If you are a German flying a... Italian airline over South America.
Yeah.
It's all English.
It's what?
It's all English.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole
yeah.
thing is English. The
fun.
Defined. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant book about it called Skyfaring. I talked about it on the show before, I think. It's worth a read. Beautifully written. Just to change trains.
If you ever want, we were talking about Megan Rapinoe and also men who think that they could win a fight off Serena Williams and stuff a little while ago. If you ever want to see the detritus of male fragile ego, just go into the comments when a plane crashes happened in the air traffic control conversation they're having. Like, could you please ascend to so many feet? And he's gone, yeah, no, my plane's fucked. I'm going down. See you later. And they're screaming. And the co-pilot is usually screaming. I'm going, fucking hell, Charlie, get the fucking, go up, go up.
Why are you listening to this?
What?
Why are people uploading this?
Fascinating, just absolutely fascinating to listen to people's final words while they're just trying to fucking write a really wrong ship and then them coming out the other side and realising that it's all for nothing and we are but meat.
I think you might need...
help.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the number of someone you can talk to.
You don't know any.
I don't.
And it's fascinating. And the people, and they are all men, in the comments going, well, he should have done this and he shouldn't have been screaming as his plane hits a fucking hangar.
That's amazing.
At 150 miles an hour.
That's amazing.
He should not have been screaming like that. He should have kept a cool head. Mate.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking bell end.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect as well. And just enjoying kind of armchair fucking aeronautical enthusiasts giving it the
big licks. It reminds me of...
from their fucking wank...
I think it was Kevin Hart, the comedian, who was on Joe Rogan.
Right.
And they're talking about internet haters.
Yeah.
And then they talked, and Kevin Hart said they used to have a real problem with it. They used to get him down, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And he said, I think he said something like...
And then Joe Rogan mentioned some UFC.
No, he said, I woke up one morning and thought, you know what? Michael Jordan's my hero. And Michael Jordan ain't comment on no YouTube video. So fuck it. Yeah. Those people, I mean, what are they doing? Is it not? I just assumed that half of them would be bots or something.
No, they're pretty. If you're ever on a video that has some repute or it has some like a large amount of comments, like obviously I do a bit of work with Abroad in Japan, and he's a fairly well known Japanese vlogger.
Do people still say vlogger?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
fair enough.
You'll never catch me slipping, bro.
Cyber vlogger, yeah?
Cyber vlogger on the interwebs. And like just the, how many people, the vast proportion of people, like how many people actually comment on YouTube videos. There's a whole, it's not something I've ever done. Because I don't need anybody to know what I've been looking at on YouTube, to be quite frank.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to even be logged in.
Incognito mode.
Yeah. Mate, just changing trains really quickly before we go to emails, because I wanted to bring this to the table. Guardian website do a regular section called Are You Doing It Right? And it's
right,
part of their health and wellbeing section. And
are you watching videos of air traffic control?
Are you commenting on YouTube, right? No, and the one I saw last week, which I wanted to bring to your attention, is how to chew your food properly.
Okay.
And I've got a feeling, Pete Donaldson, that you are a man.
Properly,
I think you're a man who just chucks it down.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know.
Well, apparently digestion starts in the mouth.
Okay.
But rather than advising an absolute number of times to chew your food, this nutritionist recommends people put their food or cutlery down between mouthfuls. Then, when you've finished chewing and swallowing, pick up your cutlery and take the next mouthful.
I'm a slow eater, so I reckon I'm banging to this. Because people just hoover up their food. I'm very, very slow. Very methodical. I'm a bit of a chatter.
Apparently science says... I'm always a little bit sceptical of nutritionists, but I don't really, because I don't fully know what their qualifications are.
And also, you can make a bit of money doing it. Whenever there's money, where there's muck, there's gold, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, true,
there's
muck, exactly. There's brass. Like dietitians and stuff. Mm. Anyway, but the thing that was really interesting about this article is saliva contains this thing, which I think is pronounced amylase, which is an enzyme that chemically breaks down food. Yeah. Well, listen to this. I didn't know this. Very little carbohydrate gets broken down in the stomach,
right?
And if the food gets there without being properly digested, it means your stomach has to work a lot harder.
Mm.
Now I think, and I'm reading between the lines here, but I think this is why you get tired after you have a meal.
Mm.
So if you chew your food, when you get a load of bread in you, chew the bread properly, and you won't feel as tired after you've eaten it.
Yeah, but I am a very slow eater. I'm not very quick, but yeah, I'll have a crack at not wolfing it down quite so quickly.
Just writing this for the synopsis notes later.
Don't eat food quickly.
Chewing food. Mm. Let's have a little ad break.
All right, then.
When we come back, I want to talk to you about an animal I've never heard of before.
Okay, then. Fine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Mm-hmm. Julian Assange there at Live Aid. That was, I think that happened last weekend, the weekend before last. There was that video was being shared a lot on Twitter.
Oh, because it was the anniversary of it. Anniversary.
Yeah. Mm.
Was it like a weird one, like the 16th or something? Well, 26th or whatever, rather than like a big one.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was in 85,
we
right?
We seem to.
So it was 34 years.
Yeah. We seem to kind of like celebrate weird centenary,
it's because,
weird birthdays.
It's because the internet is fueled now by people trying to give angles to content to get it out there to share their own message.
I've just noticed, Luke, you've got a big line across the front of your shirt. Is that a new shirt?
No.
It's been folded.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you got what a line. You got a line there.
That's probably because I had it folded up in the drawer, I suppose.
Thought it was a new t-shirt.
No, it is fairly
I was trying to get us off the live ed.
Peter, I said before the break, I want to talk about an animal I never heard of before. This is part of the email section, of course. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. Dan's got in touch.
Yes, Dan.
And he's talking about something we mentioned on episode 178, which is about the human consumption of chicken's feet. So
okay,
I think this might have been when you went overseas or something, and and we were talking about how there can't really be anything of taste or nutritional value in chicken's feet. So why do they serve them up? And I understand it's because in some parts of the world, you know, you should make the most out of any bit of food you've got. I get all that.
I reckon you could probably put it all in your mouth and just crunch it.
Because be horrible,
I imagine the bones would be quite...
cartilage, probably, wouldn't it? Dan's got in touch, said, I'm a zookeeper and I work with carnivores. Similarly to you two, many of the species aren't overly keen on chicken feet. And some, like our cheetah, won't even bother with them. It'd be fucking brilliant working in there, too. However, Pete, tell me how you would pronounce that, this animal here, right? I've got the link. How would you pronounce that?
A dole.
D-H-O-L-E, a dole. Which apparently is an Asian wild dog.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it before.
We used to have him at Twycross Zoo.
Your zoo?
Wild dogs.
Anyway, apparently the dole will turn the chicken upside down so they can munch down the feet first. All 18 in the dole pack show this same behaviour and we have no idea why. When hunting, dole will generally attempt to eat the most nutritious parts of the prey's body, such as the organs, first. However, they have a preference for chicken feet in our zoo, much to our puzzlement. Love the show, Dan. So, if you know anything about dole...
That's where to put your chicken feet, send it to a dole. Or a whistling dog.
Sign on to see the dole.
Yeah, it's a lovely looking animal. Like a kind of a cross between a fox and a...
It looks like a cross between a fox and a dog.
Fox and a dog.
And as everyone knows, a fox is what happens when a dog and a cat have sex.
Yeah.
So dogs are men and cats are women.
It's when a glacier mint needs a mascot. Hello to, who have we got here? Communist Cat. Hello, Communist Cat. I believe in America. My most egregious school injustice story happened sometime around third grade. To provide some context, I was a wee lass who went to a school that was lax to the point that teachers were to be addressed by their first names. I do not endorse this.
Nor do I. Stop trying to call teachers.
However, the school in question turned out to be quite strict in relation to one issue, clubs. And around about this age, there was quite a rivalry between the girls and the boys. While the boys would start large games of kickball and soccer. What is kickball compared to soccer?
Crazy. Sounds like it should be the same thing to me.
Yes, I am an American amongst themselves. They would not let the girls join. This inspired the conception of the Girls' Defence Club, which sounds a bit EDL.
Yeah.
The Girls' Defence Club. It was a very small club that did just that, defended girls, which translated to the policy of asking the boys to let the girls join in and using sticks to etch giant peace signs on the field at recess. Oh, unfortunately, hello. Unfortunately, the GDC ended as soon as it began, as the entire club, which consisted of maybe three people, was held inside after school and was given a lecture stating that unauthorised clubs that were not sponsored by a parent or a company were strictly prohibited. I sobbed during the entire speech and quickly disbanded the club, which had lasted the duration of a single recess. This ridiculous injustice makes my blood boil to this very day. Communist Cat.
So, I mean, young feminist.
Well, not... Yeah. Yes, definitely, but more importantly, a young rabble rouser. Because of the strength of the spring on my microphone stand, it keeps moving it up.
Sounds like we're recording in an ironworks.
So I haven't moved it down again. Did you ever start a little club at school? I remember starting.
Yeah.
I was involved in the conception of a school-wide protest,
right?
In my junior school, to the dinner ladies who had been unfair to some of my friends, so we started a big "We Protest" chant.
How were they unfair?
Can't remember.
How old were you at the time?
Because school. I remember being told by one of the school dinner ladies. I mean, they're just mums, aren't they? They're just mums who are like retired mums.
They want a little job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I'm fairly certain back in the day, there's no real formal training that goes into that particular job. I don't even know whether it exists anymore. I presume it still does. But or maybe there is. I don't know. But there certainly wasn't back then. So they were actually
Probably checked and stuff now.
But they were actually at times quite... hands-on when it comes to, you know, they would like kind of glorified teachers sort of thing. So they would come over and...
Well, they'd get a bit drunk on power, you reckon?
One of them came up to me once and went, "You'll never amount to anything. You're a fucking idiot." Like which is true, but...
Yeah, very harsh. She's wasted doing that job, man. Fucking hell.
Very harsh kind of like... But some of them would be actually quite vindictive to the point of going,
You're hurting inside.
you're like the little...
You didn't
man.
Even get... The "you'll never amount to anything" chat that we all got in broadcasting.
From a teacher.
Yeah, I got it from a dinner lady. Yeah. Wow, that is like low, man.
There are people who kind of...
What did the other one say to you? You're hurting inside.
No, I'm saying that they're hurting inside.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know,
right,
when it's cat bin lady.
Yeah.
She was a modern pariah, but I kind of feel sorry for Bagel Man. He's hurting inside and is...
Guys who think they can win a tennis point of Serena Williams, they're hurting inside.
People who think that Megan Rapinoe isn't a legitimate superhero.
I know this isn't right. Inside. I know this isn't right, but if a dinner lady said that to me, even though I was 10, I'd have said, "Hang on a minute, you're a fucking dinner lady."
I think that's what I may have... what do you call it? What's the thought on the stairwell?
Oh yeah, stairwell. It was a French thing. L'esprit
d'escalier.
Escalier, yeah.
I nearly said Sabri Sancor, which I think might be devil without corns or something, which is very different. Which I may have gleaned from
L'esprit d'escalier. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yes.
So you protested. What happened?
Basically, we started a big chant saying, "We protest. We protest." And then a few people sort of like joined us kind of marching around the playground until the entirety of the school playground. Nobody knew what was going on, but everyone was going, "We protest, we protest." And then there was a summit meeting with the headmaster about what...
Really?
About some shoddy treatment by the...
dinner lady.
Something horrible that the dinner lady had said.
Wow.
I mean, I think the dinner lady was like the worst dinner lady.
The comment to you specifically was this?
Say again? No, nothing to do with me, but okay. similar lines, I think.
Okay, right.
You were the gateway drug. A woman was horrible to one of our friends. And I think the dinner lady, when she saw the entirety of the school marching around the playground shouting, "We protest," in a big snaky line.
She thought, "I'm in trouble here."
She thought, "I might be in trouble here."
Yeah.
"I'm losing my, you know..."
She thought,
my wee job.
"By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes." What about another school injustice then, from Eric, who says, "Hi guys, after hearing your recent chat about school injustices, I had to share mine. One time in middle school, our entire grade had to eat lunch in a much smaller gymnasium as the normal cafeteria was being used for something. This led to everyone being packed in much tighter than usual and made supervision quite hard for the teachers and the staff." Obviously, being 13 or 14 years old at the time, something bad was going to happen. And a food fight started, just like the ones you see in the movies. The injustice, however, happened to a kid named Alex, who I witnessed get hit square in the face with a piece of pizza right at the beginning of the melee.
Nice.
Yet 2 hours later, when half our grade were being funneled in and out the principal's office to find out we'd been suspended from school the next day, there was Alex pleading his case that he didn't even throw any food. How could he have done? He spent the whole food fight trying to wipe pizza off his face. Love the show. Keep it coming. P.S. Pete, please come back to Korea. I'll buy you a Bexel energy drink. Pizza in the face. It's like when Man United played Arsenal and someone chucked a piece of pizza at Alex Ferguson.
I thought Alex Ferguson was the one who chucked the pizza. He received a bit, did he?
I think it was Cesc Fabregas who threw it at Alex Ferguson.
You threw a slice of pepperoni at Alex Ferguson's cheek, would you even notice it was there?
And no one was there to see it.
The same colour.
Yeah.
You could have loads on then, you wouldn't know.
That'd be painful getting...
His face might be protected by a thin layer of pepperoni and you wouldn't know because it's so red.
It would be painful because, I mean, you know when you... I would say if you're going to go top three foodstuffs to burn the roof of your mouth, pizza's right up there.
Hot cheese, yeah.
If you get a hot one right on your face, my goodness me. It used to be a cruel slur on people at my school. If you had like spots, people would call you pizza face.
Pizza face, yeah.
Pretty mean, I think.
Remember the Samurai Pizza Cats? Let's move on.
No. The what?
Samurai Pizza Cats. I think
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think it was a legitimate Japanese cartoon, but I think that kind of like bandwagon jumping, I think. Samurai Pizza Cats.
Did you ever get involved in the food fight, Pete? Is that what you're protesting?
I don't think I've ever had one, to be honest.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah.
One more email to squeeze
one
in.
One more match.
This is from...
We protest.
Matt Kasanoff.
Nice.
Good name.
What a lovely name.
This is a bit of a dirty one, Pete. So it's right up your street.
All right.
I never considered this before.
Oh, I was going to unzip.
Put it away.
I was going to audibly unzip my flies, but I've got a button trow.
Oh, trow. That's a shame. Matt Kasanoff says, on the back of episodes 168 to 171, you talked a lot about Bryan Adams. I don't remember doing that, do you?
No.
He says, I thought it would be appropriate to share the following anecdote. When I was probably 17, I was having a conversation about rock music with one of my best friends. I said something along the lines of, it's crazy how popular Summer of 69 is, considering it's only about sex.
Mm.
Upon hearing this news, my friend displayed genuine shock, proclaiming, I'm not sure that's true. I challenged him to look up the lyrics. Not only did he look up the lyrics, afterwards he still claimed it was not entirely clear whether or not the song was about sex. Here are some of the lines from the lyrics. Standing on your mama's porch, you told me that you'd wait forever. Oh, and when you held my hand, I knew it was now or never. Man, we were killing time. We were young and restless. We needed to unwind. I guess nothing can last forever. Forever, no. It was the summer of 69. Oh, yeah, me and my baby in 69.
Oh.
I'd never once considered that.
No, I thought he was too clean-cut for that kind of behaviour.
He's a very celebrated photographer now.
I thought you were going to say kind of linguist.
When you think about it, right, it's got to be true.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Because
there's no need
he was only born in 1959.
Right.
So he wasn't hanging out in...
Unless he was particularly...
At 9 years old.
Advanced.
With his girl that he fell in love with, really, was he?
No. Like two Tetris shapes.
But they've put the inverted comma before 69 to make it out like it's short for 1969.
Well, of course they have, because they can't go... I fucking, you know, I went down on my missus.
No.
I've had sex with a lady. I mean, it's not very,
this is
very reconstructed, is it?
This is the song we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, number 4 in the 50 best Canadian singles of all time.
Mm.
Number 70 in the 500 greatest songs since you were born by Blender in 2005. Number 635 in the 1001 greatest singles ever made.
You know, Summer 69.
Yeah.
What, played it till my fingers bled? That's got to be. That's got to be something.
No, because he talks about. He starts off by saying, I got my first real six string.
Banjo string.
Bought it at the five and dime. Remember, I told you my friend thought it said, bought it at the Claude Van Damme, which doesn't make any sense. So I think he is actually talking about a guitar there.
That is wonderful.
But we are talking about a song here that charted in, you know, pretty much everywhere.
He took pictures of Lady Diana. And he's allowed to give the kids that filth.
God rest her.
God rest her soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bryan Adams, we never knew you. Sold 675,000 copies in the UK alone, that single.
If you're like...
Matt Kasanoff, you've blown our minds.
If you ever want to see... If someone thinks they're all high and mighty, I can't imagine anyone who has had sex who's never done a 69.
Where's this come from?
I'm just saying, it's a humorous image.
When you just say,
because then you've got the choice of who goes on top and who goes on the bottom. Like, it's a funny situation for anyone to be in, I think. So if a boss ever mugs you off, if a dinner lady possibly ever says that you'll never amount to anything,
so is this your
just
version
imagine
of,
in the 69 position.
Is this your version of when you say, if you're nervous, imagine someone sat there with no clothes on?
Yeah. This absolutely going for it.
It's your dirty version of it.
Yeah,
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't think any adult human being has not been in that situation, Pete?
Yeah.
One person here who hasn't.
And if they and if they haven't, they're missing out.
Yeah. Is that the message you want to leave the listeners with today? What's this?
It's the same theme. Basically, in Japan, they have a very famous secondhand shop, and it's called Hard Off.
Right.
And they're quite celebrated for their music, their shitty panpipe music they've got in their shops. And digital slap bass.
Do you know that...
Hard off.
In most of the places where the panpipes are played, it's actually known as a pan flute.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah. Do you know what I was thinking about the other day as well?
Mm-hmm.
That weird video with those guys from Saturday Night Live, one of which is in Brooklyn Nine-Nine now.
Right.
Who did that song with Michael Bolton, who becomes obsessed with Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
That's funny, that, isn't it?
What?
I feel like it's a bit underrepresented, that.
Lonely Island.
Is that it? Was a Lonely Island.
They've done a really good Netflix special where, is it Jose Canseco? Or Sammy? I think it's Jose Canseco and another one. Basically, two baseball guys who were found to have used steroids at some point. I'm not saying it was Jose Canseco, but
right.
One of those ones that were in that Simpsons episode.
Like Barry Bonds or whatever.
Softball. From here to San Diego.
Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry. That might be in the Strobs.
They weren't all taking... it wasn't... It was to do with...
That wasn't part of the narrative. No.
Yeah, yeah.
But in real life, some baseball players will cork bats and take them drugs.
Yeah.
I find cork bats fascinating. Absolutely. Yeah, I do. Some baseball teams have...
If it floats, it's a witch.
With liquid mercury.
Wow.
Which would increase... Well,
mercury is liquid anyway. That's a tautology, isn't it?
Well, nice. I mean, because it's got a high, low melting point. Well,
it's a liquid at room temperature, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, we used to have a little maze that we got on a Christmas cracker.
Not mercury.
It was.
Even in the 80s, that was.
I'm telling you, that was fucking mercury.
Your brain has remembered a small ball bearing.
No way.
Mercury.
I'm telling you now.
They're not putting mercury in a kid's toy in the 80s. That was prime, you can't touch mercury situation.
Hello, there it is, published in 1978. We had one well into the 80s, mate.
That's not mercury, that's
a
ball.
It's
yeah,
not.
It's called the Mercury Maze, no. But it's clear. Why is it in a ball then? That's clearly not a glob of mercury. That's just a ball bearing.
The aim of the game is to rotate and tilt the puzzle to get the silver blob of mercury into the centre of the maze.
Show me that.
It is a late example of the use of mercury in a game aimed at children and young people.
Unbelievable.
Mercury is known to be toxic and hazardous to health and is consequently banned or restricted from use in manufacturing. We had one, mate.
I'm putting the hard-off advert on.
How do you feel about that? Mercury maze. I know how you feel based on this music.
The magic of house. That's a house-based second-hand shop.
Where the mercury maze?
The man just come out of their cupboard, so...
Mercury maze. Get out of here, Pete. Bring the theme tune in because I want people's last impression of this show to be...
You were right and I was wrong.
We have mercury mazes in our house.
You could have broken that out and got cancer.
My mum didn't give a shit. She used to watch me play it all the time. Didn't give a shit, mate.
Inhaling the fumes.
Only made of really thin plastic as well.
Oh, dear me.
Probably would have sunk into my skin and poisoned my bloodstream.
Yeah, you would have been gone grey like that man who drank all of that colloidal silver.
Yeah.
We all know him.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.